love that song.
We've all got so much sinus congestion, everything.
I'm going to learn to sing that song. You know, it's not how you sing it, it's the words.
That's right.
Amen.
Thank the Lord.
Hallelujah. Good job on that. All right. Anybody else got a song? Well, don't knock it down. You got one, Sharon?
No, not mine.
Well, Lord, y'all want me to sing or what?
Go ahead.
Boy.
Sing it, Brother Eddie.
I can't believe it. Got an opportunity to sing and all going that away. Let me see here. I might actually sing one. Let's see what we got. See what I got to choose from here. I'll put a few things in here. I believe I'll just sing it right there.
Right back there.
Yeah, that's all I can do, brother. I'll tell you what, I love my Savior. And I'm glad that he finished the work before he went home. Amen. We're still working. But one day we'll finish our work and we'll go home.
That's right.
This song's called Blessed Redeemer.
Yeah.
And I love this song. Beautiful song. It brings to context the great price that was paid, the great suffering. But I love this song. I don't know who wrote it. But do our best here to sing it. I ain't got no idea what key. Nothing.
I'll help you with it anyway.
But up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn, walked Christ my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners. Death on the cross, that he might save them from endless loss. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, since now I see him on Calvary's tree. Wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me.
Amen.
Father, forgive them, thus did he pray. Even was life's blood flowed fast away, praying for sinners while in such woe. No one but Jesus ever loved so. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, since now I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding.
Amen.
For sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me.
Amen.
Oh, how I love him.
Yes.
Savior and friend,
that's right.
How can my praises ever find end? Through years unnumbered on heaven's shore, my tongue shall praise him forevermore. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, since now I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. Well, I've been redeemed. And I'm glad I've been redeemed.
Bobby up in Indiana wrote, "Make a joyful noise unto
the Lord." That's it.
Bless him.
Amen. Have a blessing. All we can make is a joyful noise. I agree with that. Amen. But praise God. We just want to praise the Lord. And thankful to be saved. Thankful to be in the house of God. Thankful to have this many out on Sunday night. Glory. Like I said, we're going to preach a pastoral message tonight. Won't last long. But we'll take our text out of St. John chapter 1. If you want to be opening up your good old King James Bible to St. John chapter 1. And we will chase a few rabbits in this message. I can't help it. But we'll try to stay on topic. Amen. But we're going to read verse 29 through verse 39 of St. John chapter 1. It says, "And the next day," John, talking about John the Baptist, "saith Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said after me, cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me." That's quite a statement there. John Baptist is actually 6 months older than Jesus, yet John Baptist said that Jesus was before him. He said, "And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit," and that is capital S, "descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not." That's the second time that John has said, "I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." Again, the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" They saith unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" And he saith unto them, "Come and see." And they came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. We'll stop our reading right there. I'm preaching a simple message tonight on bringing people to Jesus. Father, we thank you for the privilege, not only, Lord, to sing your songs, but Lord, also to preach your word. And Lord, we ask for your blessings upon the preaching of your word tonight. Lord, we just pray you'll make this message what it needs to be. Lord, I pray it encourage us. I pray, Lord, Father, it provoke us, Lord, to be more fruitful in the work of God. I pray, God, you'll help us. You said without you we could do nothing, but through you, Lord, we can do all things. And we want to be fruitful, Lord, a servant. We want to be a fruitful vine. Lord, we want to bear fruit. We want to bear the right fruit. We pray your blessings on this message tonight. Give you praise and glory. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, John, you know, he just come out of the wilderness. Bible talked about him coming out of the wilderness here, buddy. And he ain't much to look at. But one thing he does is he starts telling people about Jesus. I commend him for that. And that's what we need to do. We need to learn how to tell people about Jesus. And John was pointing people to Jesus. We've seen that in verse 29 through and verse 36. John had been witnessing. If you look at verse 15, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This is he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." And John's been preaching. Look down at verse 18. "No man has seen God at any time, the only begotten, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." And John here, he's a faithful witness. He's pointing people to Jesus. He's witnessing. And he's preaching. But one thing to keep in mind when you... When you are in the work of God, Jesus helped us out a little bit. Matthew chapter 13, verse number 57. He said, a prophet's not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. What that basically means is, your family take you for granted. Even though you're saved, your witness may not have an effect on them. But you can go to a stranger, someone you don't know, someone you've never really met in life, and you may see them, Carolyn, and you may go over there and say, you know what you need? You need Jesus in your life. And you'll be given an opportunity to talk to them because they will value the fact that you took time to talk to them. I've done it myself. I've done a lot of witnessing, a lot of soul winning. But in your own family, it's not so easy, buddy. They look at you like a calf looking at a new gate. I'm telling you. Your own family's the hardest people to witness to, the hardest people to try to win to God. They'll listen to anybody. Jesus, he said, I come in my Father's name. And he said, you receive me not. He said, if another come in his name, he said, him you receive. Let me put some illustration of that. I haven't told this a long time. I feel like telling it tonight. But years ago, I was probably about 12 years old. I know I wasn't driving yet. 12 to 15, somewhere along in there. But my dad and his brother, my Uncle Benny, we always went fishing on Sunday, Bonnie. And, you know, we'd go out and dip our minnows. We'd dip them big chub minnows because we like to fish for muskie and walleye and all them big fish, stuff like that. I was with Daddy first time he caught a muskie. And I was supposed to get the landing net, Brother Eric, and that big muskie came up out of that water, and I run all the way to the car with the landing net. Daddy had to beat it with a stick to get it up there to the car. Where'd you go? I said, that scared the far out of me. I think on my leg anyway. I run all the way to the car up there with that landing net. Hey, man, he had to beat that thing. I pulled up there to the bank, beat the far, and he got it. But I tell you, I left the scene. Amen. But anyway, we dipped a bunch of chub manners, and my Uncle Benny, he lived out there on the Beaver. I guess that'd be South Fork Road. And there was a spring right there by his house. And what we'd do, really, we'd dip these minnows. We'd put them in a basket, put them in that spring. They was just fine. I mean, you go out there like you just dipped them. So anyway, we come out there Sunday morning. I mean, we was lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, but we were sinners. That's what sinners do. I don't put them down for it. That's just what sinners do. Sinners don't come to church. They need to. Yeah. And with us, maybe compel them, they might. I don't know. But anyway, we went out there. My Uncle Ben, he's sitting on the front porch. Brother Eric, and he didn't have on nothing but his underwear. Daddy said, what are you doing? He said, I'm out here smelling this air. No, he said, I'm out here breathing this air before anybody gets up to breathe it. He was out there. But I mean, we was just idiots. And anyway, we got all dressed and we took off on the Lord's Day. We drove over to Mammoth Cave Park. And there's a place where you can pull over, walk over the hill, and when you get down to the hill, you'll be at Green River at a place they call the Turnhole. Yeah. And it's a great big opening like in the side of the bank of the river. Yeah. And me and Dad, we set up our stuff on one side of the Turnhole, and Uncle Benny, Eric, he got all his stuff, and it took him forever to walk around the other side, but several when he got over there, I could have thrown a rock and hit him in the head. Yeah. I mean, he's not 20 feet away. But, I mean, he walked for like 30 minutes at least to get around the other side. And it's a beautiful day, and the Lord's merciful. He didn't send down a bolt of lightning. We got all our poles rigged up, and we throwed them out there, you know, hoping to catch a big old fish. And my Uncle Benny, of course, he was a little bit extravagant. He brought him an old fishing hat. He lit him up a big cigar and lit that thing up, pulled that hat down. He laid back on the bank of the river there and laid his... pulled his hat down, had that cigar sticking out the end of that hat. Every man he'd see a puff of smoke, his hand back behind his head, and we're sitting there, you know, waiting for a fish to bite. And I heard this crack, Bonnie. And I looked, I mean, I'm talking way up on the hill, way up there. A tree broke completely off. And it come down, I mean, so far off, how could it possibly bother us? But it came down that hill really like a pogo stick. I mean, this was a tree on a mission. It stair-stepped all the way down that hill. It went straight to where Benny, my Uncle Benny, was. And it didn't just follow him. It beat on him for like 5 minutes. I mean, I'm talking about, it's like a big fly swatter. Limbs are flying everywhere. Birds leaving. I mean, I was screaming. And then it got deathly silent. Not a sound, not a whisper, not nothing. I leaned over my daddy. I said, "Is Benny dead?" About that time, I said, "Broke cigar." Took it out of his mouth, put it in the creek, got what was left of his hat up, put it on his head, reeled in all his broken poles, walked all the way back around that turn hole, and he came over to my dad and said, "I'm ready to go if y'all are." And we really didn't think much about that, Barney, but I will say this, the next time I saw my Uncle Benny, he didn't have a rotten bill in his hand, he had a Bible in his hand. My Uncle Benny lived in Louisville. And I think, if I understand this right, his wife had told him not to go fishing that day, but to go with her to church, and he said a few words and went fishing with us. But anyway, he decided maybe she might have been right, but he got saved, and here he is, drove all the way from Louisville down to our house, which was at that time on Newman Street in Glasgow, Kentucky. And he come through the door there, Bonnie. Boy, he sure looked different. I mean, he had the peace of God. Amen. Man, he had the joy of the Lord. I looked at Benny. I'm sitting on the couch eating popcorn. That's about all we could afford. But, you know, we made some popcorn, put some butter on it, salted down. But anyway, Benny come in that door there, and he looked like, Brother Eddie looked like an angel of God. He did. And he walked over to my dad. I mean, tears rolling down his cheeks. And my dad was Benny's older brother. Benny walked over to my dad. He said, "Bobby, I love you." He said, "I got you something I want to give you." He said, "I got saved. I bought you a Bible. And I'd like for you to get saved, Bobby." And my dad, he took that Bible and he threw it against the wall. And it fell back behind the TV. I can't say what my dad said, but he told him to get out of the house. And my Uncle Benny, he's brokenhearted. He left. And that was a moment, one of them monumental moments. I'm trying to put it all together, like what just happened here. But anyway, Daddy, he raved. But there was some good come out of it, because I ended up getting saved. It was kind of like a domino effect. I was the first one to get saved from this. Then my dad, well, my mom rededicated her life. Then my dad got saved. But you know, it's hard to witness to your family. Yeah. I saw my Uncle Benny broke. And I saw my dad, like most sinners, you know, why did the heathen rage? He was in a rage. And, you know, he throwed that Bible. I don't even know where that Bible is today. Benny, you know, he gave that Bible to my dad. I did find it, and I gave it back to my dad. But, you know, he never really had regard for it like I did. But anyway, it was a real nice Bible, a good study Bible. And, you know, your family, they're not easy to talk to. They're not easy to witness to. They're the most difficult, category of people. If you ever take it upon yourself to witness someone, your family is probably the biggest challenge.
Right.
What you got, Brother Ed?
Speak to your wife. She's online.
All right. I'm glad she's watching, amen. She knows this story better than I do.
Yeah.
But my dad did get saved. My mother did rededicate her life. And I got saved. My wife there, I'm sure she said, "Praise the Lord." You know, things are impossible. Men are possible with God.
Yeah.
Got me saved. I'm so glad to be saved.
Amen.
I'm a whole lot better husband to my wife. I don't guess there was a husband to her until I got saved.
Yeah.
And I'm glad God started with my Uncle Benny. Got him good and saved. My Uncle Benny, he never let up. He stayed with it. Boy, he was good and saved. But you think about what happened that day. And God's ways are past finding out, but I believe he spoke pretty good to Benny that day.
Yeah.
He was pretty silent all the way home. But like I said, buddy, he took root downward and he started bearing fruit upward. But Benny was a tremendous witness in our family, not only in our own family, but the rest of our family. He got a lot of them saved, amen. But John here, and what I've read, he was pointing people to Jesus. And if you'll notice, two of those that was with him heard what he said in verse 37, and they started following Jesus. And Jesus saw them following, and they ended up spending the day with Jesus, verses 38 and 39. And that is our goal, to win people to the Lord and to get them following Jesus, to get them in church. You know, this world will consume people. There's a devil down here. And Jesus said about the devil, he told Peter, he said, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. And Jesus said, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. And you know, we need to get our family in church.
Amen.
I do believe that that's probably the best place for everybody to be. I don't care if you're saved or lost. Even if you're lost, you can get some help in the house of God. You can hear something worth hearing. You can hear somebody loves you. You can hear that somebody wants you to come live with him. You can hear that someone's trying to help you find your way. I'm glad the Lord doesn't give up. Amen.
Amen.
My brother-in-law, which is my wife's brother, he come to stay with us for a little while. And he was kind of a hard case. And I hadn't been saved long enough to have any sense about it at all. But his name was Garnet Dale. Maybe Garrett. It was Garrett Anderson. She got two brothers. One of Garnet Dale. Another was Garrett. It was her younger brother, Garrett. We was in there in the kitchen in there. And I'm trying to talk to him about the Lord. I'll probably make a mess of it anyway, says the body. But he went really a little bit too far. And in an effort to dodge what I was saying, in an effort, I guess, to shut me up. And you know what he said, Sybil? He said, I want to go to hell. And when he said that, I have to admit, that's probably the smartest I've ever been in my life. I said, you do? He said, yeah, I want to go to hell. I said, you don't mind proving that, do you? He said, yeah, I'll prove it. Tell me how I proved it. I went over and turned our kitchen range on high, and that burner got good and cherry red. And I said, Garrett, just lay your face right there on that burner and you'll prove to me that you want to go to hell. I said, that won't kill you. Just put a scar on your face. It won't kill you. And boy, the effect of what I said got through to him. He fell right down in front of that kitchen range right there in our kitchen floor out there at 9000 Heaven Road. He said, oh God, I want you to forgive me. I want you to save me right now. I'm sitting there down in the box of rocks looking at that saying, wow! But you know, your family's hard to witness to.
Yes, they are.
The closer the family seems like, the harder it is. I don't know how many times I witnessed Bonnie's husband, William. And you know, he would always honor and respect the fact, you know, he was concerned about him. He'd listen, let you talk to him. Every now and then he'd have a question. A pretty good question. And thank God for the Word of God. I was able to give him a Bible answer, amen. William got saved. I'm going to tell you something, buddy. It's quite an undertaking to win somebody to the Lord. It takes the effort of many. The Bible says one waters, another plants a seed, one waters, God gives increase. Amen.
Right.
But I didn't read this far, but I want to read a little further. One of those two that heard him, heard John speak and started following Jesus. If you'll look down there about verse number 40, it talks about one of those two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ.
Yeah.
And he brought him to Jesus. Boy, that's pretty good. Amen. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which by interpretation is stone.
Yeah.
You see, it can be done. He got his brother like Benny. He tried to get my dad. Dad, Benny was still alive when Dad got saved, but Benny didn't live long. And we got to go over a few times after Daddy got saved. But you know, it could have been a whole lot better. If Daddy hadn't been like most people, so stubborn and hard-hearted, you know, he could have got saved. I could just see my dad and his brother Benny enjoying the things of God.
Yeah.
But they was like on two different worlds. I mean, you talking about a separation. I got saved, Rita. I lost all my friends.
Yeah.
Right.
Most of my family, they quit calling. They quit coming.
Yeah.
My father-in-law is going to go fishing one day. And I was just going to talk to him a little bit about his soul, Bonnie.
Yeah.
We was going down to the boat ramp there at the state park. And his name's Casey Bell. I said, Casey, you ever think about it? He said, stop it right there. He said, just take me back to the house if you're going to talk like that. I just want to go fishing. I don't want to hear it. Hey, you know what? I planted a seed, Sybil. When I say I planted a seed, you know what happened that night? Casey asked his wife, which is my mother-in-law, Lynn Bell. He said, are you saved? You know, my mother-in-law, bless her heart, you know what she told Casey? She said, Lord God, yes. She said, I'd be afraid to close my eyes and go to sleep. I wouldn't say. She slept like a baby in case you're like an owl on that lawn. But he ended up getting saved. My brother-in-law and him, they had a lot in common. And, you know, I'm pretty blunt. I probably shouldn't be, but I'm pretty blunt. But Richard has got a lot of compassion. Richard Loftus. He won my father-in-law to the Lord. I say hallelujah. I'm okay with that. But you know what? I did plant a seed, amen. I didn't get much of it in the ground, but I planted a little bit because he went a little further and asked my mother-in-law if she was saved.
Right.
I love their answer. Lord God, yes. I couldn't go to mine, go to sleep, Lord, and saved. Hallelujah.
That's right.
Man, he told me the word family spoken. That's as good as it gets right there.
Yes,
Casey, he got, I mean, the full load on that right there. Here she is sleeping like a, you know, like a baby. He's over there, buddy, tossing a tongue, afraid to close his eyes, amen. But here, you know, Andrew go gets his brother Peter, brings him to the Lord. And, you know, would to God we could get all our family saved.
Yeah.
You know, Noah, he didn't win a whole lot of people, but he got his family in that ark, amen.
Right.
And then, you know, he went and got his brother, brought him to Jesus. And if you look on down there about number 43, the following day, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, findeth Philip, and saith unto him, follow me. You know, the Lord, he's getting some together here. And he's got Andrew, he's got Peter, now he's got Philip. Now Philip was of Bethesda, the city of Andrew and Peter. Notice verse 45. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, we have found him, of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.
Right.
Now, I will admit, Jesus wasn't of Nazareth, and he wasn't the son of Joseph, but I'll tell you what, Philip done a good job. He found Nathanael.
Yeah.
Hey, he's trying to get a seed planted, amen.
Yeah.
Verse 46, Nathanael said unto Philip, said unto him, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? You know, he's pretty right there. Thank God Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, amen.
Yeah.
Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip saith unto him, come and see. You know, sometimes people just got to come see it for their own eyes. Yeah, I've had all kind of people tell me, I might surprise you someday. I had a truck follow me down 68 and they turned right on our road, the Hayes Smith Grove Road. I thought, hallelujah. They followed me all the way to the drive into the church here. I put my turn signal really early, you know. And I took my time down there, and they went on straight. I was kind of hoping it's going to follow me on in here, amen. But, you know, if they would just come and see, I thank God for the live stream that people can see.
Yeah.
You know what? We can't get no further than these four walls. You know, I'd love to have this place full. I'd love to add on. I'd love to see, I mean, where you couldn't even shut the door of people wanting to come and see and hear, amen.
Amen.
At least we can get out further than these four walls. Thank you, Brother Ed, for not only God putting that in your heart, you acting on it and going through and getting that device. And we're trying to get this up here recorder. We can put it on the internet. There's people over in third world countries that are really would give their life for just a page of the Bible. And here we are, preaching tonight, precept upon precept, line upon line. But Philip got in on it, and Philip found Nathanael and told him what he'd found and got him to come to Jesus too. Look down here, verse 47. He said, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Now, Nathanael wasn't expecting to hear that. Matter of fact, he didn't know what he's going to see. He didn't know what he's going to hear. And you know, the lost people, until they do come, they won't know neither.
No.
I've had all kind of people tell me, you know, a bunch of hypocrites. I've had them tell me, you know, holy rollers and all that stuff. I said, won't you just come and see for yourself what all goes in? I admit, you know, we're not going to win no singing contest, not going to win no preaching contest, but I'll tell you what, we genuinely love the Lord enough to sing a song. We genuinely love the Lord enough to preach His Word. And you know, they might come in here and find something that's missing in their life. And here Nathanael, he comes, you know, and here's what he hears. Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. That's quite a compliment.
Yes,
amen. Nathanael said unto him, "Which knowest thou me?" You know, it kind of caught him off guard there. Jesus answered Bonnie and said unto him, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." Boy, that caught Nathanael by surprise. You know, I do believe that lost people would come and even, you know, save people. That maybe, you know, I'll just tell you this, every church out there ain't what it ought to be. But you get in a good church. We had a lady show up every one day. She said, "I felt the Lord out there in the parking lot."
Yeah.
We've had all kind of them come in and say, "I felt the Lord sitting there, come in there." Amen. And you know what? If you go where the Lord is, you'll experience something. Nathaniel experienced something here that he wasn't expecting. And you know what? His answer is just unbelievable here. He said, Nathanael answered and said unto him, "Rabbi, thou art the..." He's a little bit over the top. He said, "Thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these." And he said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and angels and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." You know what? Jesus, He's wanting us to bring people to Him. And John's doing his part. John's bringing people to Jesus. And then, you know, he passes the torch. And now you got Philip, you know, bringing his brother Peter. And you got Nathanael now. Philip brought Nathanael. I think Andrew brought Peter. I got that wrong. But you see this domino effect. You see the working of John Baptist here. You see it paying off. You see people, two of them left John, started following Jesus. One of them was Andrew, and ended up, you know, bringing his brother Peter to the Lord. And you see the simplicity of this is until they come, they're never going to know what they're missing out on. I know one thing. Only regret I got about getting saved, I wished I'd done it a whole lot sooner.
Yeah.
But one thing, my wife had a better husband for the first 13 years of our life. She had everything but a husband. I was never there. She had to raise the kids. She had to make do. I made plenty of money. And, you know, that was good. I did provide. I just never was ever there. She raised the kids.
Right.
You know, threatened me my life several times. I don't blame her for that. I wasn't a husband, Bonnie, till April 27th, 1988. I'm glad the Lord can take the mess of our life and put us in a right mind and clothe us, you know, with the righteousness of Christ, where we're Christ-like, we have the love of God about it. And you know what? My wife's got a better husband. Hey, she's got a better friend.
Yeah.
I wait on her hand and foot now. I think I'm spoiling her, I ain't sure. But anyway, I do the best I can, whatever she needs or whatever she wants, I go get her, I fix it, amen.
That's right.
And
that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, I wish I'd been that the first part of our marriage. I'm so sad.
Yeah.
We went through such trouble, such hardships in the first part of our marriage. We could have had a wonderful marriage. I just imagine what it would have been like if she'd have married somebody saved. I'm glad she didn't leave. I'm glad she didn't give up. I'm glad I got saved. But boy, she went through hell till I did get saved. Amen. But we got to get like John. We got to get to point people to Jesus. We got to get to telling them, you know, about Him, inviting them to come, and you know, just bringing people to Jesus. When you get one, the next one comes a whole lot easier.
Right.
That first one
right.
is always hard. But I see every time driving up here, I see people that I'm kind of convicted in my heart that I hadn't stopped and invited them, you know, to come. But this little church will get a whole lot bigger when we start at least calling them on the phone and say, "You ought to have been there. You ought to be there." I'm telling you, buddy, you know, hearing's one thing, but being there is another thing, amen.
Right. Right.
And bringing people to Jesus. I know the church age is about over. I know the age of grace is about over.
Yes, Lord.
And when God shuts the door on the age of grace, all of those, and I am one saved by the grace of God, all of those saved by grace going to be gone, and those left behind.
Amen.
I mean, Jesus said, "Woe unto them, those left behind." Here's how they'll have to make it to heaven.
Yeah.
They'll have to deny the mark of the beast. That'll be nearly impossible. It'll cost you to be beheaded publicly. Because the Antichrist can operate off of fear. But you'll have to live not your life unto death. You'll have to have the testimony of Jesus. Good luck with that. It's bad enough right now. That spirit of Antichrist right now is putting a lot of persecution on the churches. We just went through COVID, right. Shut them all down, except right. This one. Me and Brother Ed met over here. We learned how to sing at least one song, amen. Won't it be wonderful there?
Yes,
but we kept the doors open. It may not have been the best decision, but we did it, amen.
Yeah.
Made it through it. But, you know, the persecution we've been through is just going to be minor when the Antichrist sets up.
Right.
And, you know, the one world system sets up. You're either with them or you're against them. And if you're against them, buddy, they're going to hunt you like a dog. Yeah. And they're going to make all kinds of methods of putting you to death. It'll probably be some kind of entertainment. We're going to burn this and we're going to behead this. I don't know. Speculating there. But you'll have to live not your life unto death. You'll have to have the testimony of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll have to keep the commandments of Moses. I can't keep a one of them. Thank God for grace. Amen.
That's right.
But I'm glad God made a way at Calvary where sinners like me that deserved hell could still be forgiven, still be saved. Mm-hmm. And you know what? After He saved me, I tried to find somebody else. I tried to talk to my family. A lot of them walk off while I'm talking.
Yep.
You know what, Bonnie? I watched every one of them go to the grave. Mm-hmm. Watched my friends go to the grave. Watched my family go to the grave.
Yeah.
Didn't have to be that way, Brother Ed.
That's right.
They made my own choice. I remember talking to one of them at a funeral. My cousin Steve Ford got killed in a trucking accident. One of the guys I grew up with, Rita. I went over to him. I said, "Are you saved?" Here's what his answer was. "Yeah, but not like you. I can't live it." I said, "I ain't living nothing. I'm saved."
Wow.
I mean, you get saved. It's not like you're living it. Christ lives in you. Amen. Paul talked about Christ in us, hope of glory. And you know what? I couldn't deny the Lord if I wanted to. I mean, we got enough lying going on today as it is.
Right.
But praise God, the Bible says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Well, your family would be the biggest challenge. You go find a stranger, somebody you don't even know, and try to talk to them about the Lord, and they'll listen. They sure will. I've never really had I've had a few bad experiences, but nothing really bad. I've had a lot of people, had a lot of respect, had a lot of people that actually needed to talk to someone about their soul, that wanted to be saved. Can you imagine what are the odds today of finding a fundamental Bible-believing church?
Mm.
I mean, we've got all kind of churches, I agree. But I want you to know, buddy, they're Ichabod. There's no spirit there.
Amen.
There's no truth there. But these people, they want to be saved.
Yeah.
They don't want to end up in a cult. Oh, shut up right there. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this simple message tonight. Lord, just a pastoral message. Lord, to encourage Your children. Lord, help us with our families. Help us with our friends. Give us, Lord, the burden that we need. Give us, Lord, the vision that we need. Help us, Lord, I pray, Lord, not only to be Your witnesses. Your Word says a true witness delivers souls. And, Lord, a false witness, they speak lies. But help us, I pray. Lord, we thank You and praise You, Lord, being able to be here tonight. Lord, on this Sunday night, this August the 14th Sunday night, we thank You, Lord, for all that You do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You know, I talked about visions there. This came to my mind as I mentioned that. A man named William Booth, I believe. General William Booth, I believe. Brother Eric, he had a dream one night. And in his dream, he ended up founding the Salvation Army. But in that dream, he was on a dock. And the ocean was all around the dock, and the storm was raging, and people was out there, "Help me, help me, help me." And, you know, they were saying, "Help me, I'm drowning, I'm drowning, I'm drowning." And he looked around at the people on the dock, and you know, they was reading books and you know, playing games. And he went over trying to, in his dream, trying to pull people out of the raging storm of the sea. And he'd get them out, and they go over and start playing games. But anyway, this is not no game. Like I said, we're here for a short time. Let's make good use of it. I'll stop right there. Let's all stand. We won't even have a dismissal prayer tonight. I'll let Brother Eric off the hook there. Anybody got a word on your heart tonight? I know the cream of the crop's here tonight on Sunday night.
I'd like to say I love the Lord. And I thank Him for my salvation. I thank Him for His salvation.
Amen, Brother Ed. Amen.
I thank Him for Sundays. I tell you what, yeah. I enjoy this day. You know, we get to stay in church about all day on Sunday, and I love it.
Amen.
I wouldn't care if we just went straight through. He's a bologna sandwich.
Amen.
Straight through.
Amen to that. It's hard to beat Kentucky ribeye. Amen. That's what bologna is to a hillbilly. Kentucky ribeye. Anybody else got a word on your heart tonight?
I still remember my neighbor's. She lost her father Tuesday, but her mother really needs prayer. They was married.
Now, is this Charles Smith or no?
No, this is my neighbor that lost her daddy Tuesday.
Okay.
Sending the one I was requesting prayer for her daddy, but he died Tuesday. But her mother is really down and out, and she needs to be lifted up.
Amen.
They've been married 63 years.
Wow, that's a long time. Wow, what a marriage.
They have his service for his being cremated.
Yeah.
And they're having that the 27th. So her daughter's flying back in from Florida. So, I talked to her Wednesday. I got to see Cindy's mother then, and she said it was hard. She couldn't hardly talk to me without crying.
Amen. I tried to call Brother Donnie today to ask him about the funeral arrangements on Billy, or Bill, his friend Bill, and I ended up leaving a message. I couldn't get through. He could have been at the funeral home for all I know, but I did try to call him. And
I don't know how many of you in this church has prayer lists, but put Jill Davis on your prayer list if you have one.
Amen.
She's fighting cancer.
Yeah, got her on there.
She called in here this morning. We had Sunday school.
Amen.
Asked the church to pray for her.
Amen. Everybody out there, buddy, going through some trouble, going through some trials.
Yeah.
Wednesday nights we've been teaching out of the book of Job, and those messages have been downloaded somewhere in the neighborhood of close to 50 times a piece, more than any message in the whole church for the whole year has been these Wednesday night services on the book of Job. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Nobody here, man, Brother Ed. And surprised by how many people have been listening in. Must be a great need out there for encouragement in the area of suffering. Anybody else got anything on your heart tonight? If not, we'll be dismissed.
I just want to say our homecoming's fixing to come up. And I think we as the church, if we would go and talk to 10 people, just put that on your list.
Amen.
Talk to 10 different
Hallelujah.
People. If it's somebody in your family, I know one I'm going to go talk to.
You tell Joel Eddie said to be here. Tell him I'll feed him.
He was here this morning.
Was he?
Oh, yeah.
Well, Joe is not the one I'm going to go talk to. I can talk to him at home, which I do.
Amen.
And I will go see my brother and my sister-in-law. That is one that I'm going to go talk
yes,
to.
Yes, Lord.
Because they need to make an example for all their kids, because none of them are in church.
Amen,
Miranda.
Sister Rita.
Miranda is the only one.
Isaiah chapter 6, the Lord said, who'll go for us? And Isaiah raised a hand and said, here am I, Lord, send me. Would to God we be like that. Let God send us to where we're needed. We'd be like Moses. I'm not eloquent in speaking. God said, I didn't ask you if it was. I made man's mouth. I told you go down there and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. But amen. I'm looking forward to the homecoming. I don't know. I'd kind of like to get somebody else besides me. I like to sit down like everybody else and sup a little. But I'll be praying about that. I had somebody on my mind, and I don't know that he can be here. One thing for sure, I need to get the date. Third Sunday?
I think it's September the 18th.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm.
It'll start at 10:30.
Yeah, we're not going to have Sunday school, right?
Right.
All right. I actually thought about asking David Carr. David's not a hard preacher. He's a good pastoral type preacher. Now, he may not be able to do it, but I thought about seeing if him and his wife, Gwen, could come. They could sing, and they do a good job singing, and he could bring us a good message. Let me turn this thing off. We don't want to let every cat out of the bag, amen?
No, I'm turning this one off.